So, you know that checklist, that mental list we all have when we're looking for, the
Oh,
one.
yeah. Are they ambitious? Are they funny? Do they like the same
But
movies?
exactly, but what if focusing on the person is actually the wrong way to go about it? What if that's why things so often fail?
It sounds totally backwards, right? But that's exactly what we're getting into today.
Okay, so what's the source for this deep dive?
We're looking at a piece by Lane Lasseter. He's a retired clinical psychologist.
Okay.
And what's really fascinating here is he's mixing hard science with lessons from his own 48-year marriage to his wife, Nancy.
48 years. Wow. Okay, so this isn't just theory. He's actually lived it.
Not at all. He's been in the trenches.
So when you say hard science, what are we talking about? A couple of surveys here and there.
No, this is huge. Lasseter grounds his whole idea in this massive study by Samantha Joel and Paul Eastwick.
Okay.
And I mean massive. They didn't just look at one group.
Yeah.
They pulled together data from 43 different data sets.
43.
From 29 labs all over the world. We're talking about thousands and thousands of couples.
Wow, okay. So this is the heavy artillery of relationship data.
Pretty much.
So what's the big aha moment? What did they find that just, blows up that whole checklist idea?
Well, the bottom line is that all those individual traits, anxiety, how much money someone makes,
The stuff on the checklist.
exactly. They just don't predict success nearly as much as we think. The real predictor, the big thing, isn't who you're with.
Wait, okay, so what is it then?
It's the dynamic you have with them.
Hang on. So you're telling me I could be a bit of a mess, and my partner could be a bit of a mess, but if our dynamic, our interaction is solid, we're good.
That's precisely what the data suggests. It's about
Yes.
how you are together.
There we go.
And they actually pinpointed five key things, five pillars that predict it better than anything else.
Okay, lay them on me. What are they?
All right, so the first two are huge, perceived partner commitment and appreciation.
Perceived commitment. So it's more about me believing you're all in.
Your perception creates your reality in the relationship. If you feel secure, you act differently.
Makes sense. Okay, what else?
The next two are sexual satisfaction. And this one's interesting, perceived partner satisfaction.
There's that word again. So it's about me believing that you're happy with me.
Right. It makes you feel competent as a partner, like you're doing a good job.
Got it. So we have commitment, appreciation, sex, and thinking my partner's happy. What's number five?
The fifth one is conflict.
Conflict. See, that's where I get confused. I thought the whole point was to, avoid fighting.
And that's the common misconception. The data gets really nuanced here. It's not about the amount of conflict.
Okay.
It's about the nature of it. Does a fight lead to feeling understood, or does it just build up resentment?
Ah, so it's a variable of engagement, not just negativity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You could have zero conflict and a totally dead relationship because nobody cares enough to even argue anymore.
That is a huge shift in perspective. It makes conflict part of the process, not a sign of failure. And Lasseter, he connects all this back to his own life, doesn't he? I mean, 48 years couldn't have been all smooth sailing.
Oh, not even close. And this is where the data really comes to life. He's a guy who's been through it. He's very open about it.
What kind of stuff?
He talks about his career falling apart, major parenting struggles with their two sons, and specifically his own personal battle to learn to live without alcohol.
Wow, that's a lot for any relationship to handle.
A huge amount.
So how did they get through that? Looking at those five predictors, how did it work for them?
Well, think back to that first one, perceived commitment. He says very clearly that when he was at his absolute lowest, trying to get sober, he knew his wife, Nancy, was still all in.
He felt that security from her.
He felt it. And that dynamic, that feeling of a secure base, is what gave him the space to actually work on himself.
So the relationship itself, the dynamic, actually helped heal the individual.
That's exactly it. He calls the partnership a base of operations.
A base of operations for life. I like that. It's not the destination, it's the headquarters.
Right. And he's actually turned all this into like a toolkit for other people. He has a Life Roadmaps YouTube channel and a workbook to help people draw their own map.
It reminds me of that quote he uses, something about love being a two-way street.
Constantly under construction.
Yeah, that's it. It just shifts the whole goal, doesn't it? It's not about finding someone who's a finished product.
It's about finding someone to build with. It takes work.
Yeah.
You have to actively participate.
So for everyone listening, I guess this is the takeaway. We spend so much time and energy analyzing our partners, right? Trying to fix their little habits or their moods.
All that energy.
Yeah.
But if this science is right, maybe that's not the best use of our time.
So here's the thought to leave you with.
If the dynamic truly matters more than the individual, how much time are you spending trying to fix the person across from you versus fixing the way you interact with them?
That's a big one. Definitely something to think about. Thanks for this.
Always a pleasure.